Avenatti's fine show behind the bench take you to six. Baseball, both stations after that, the Giants trying to right the ship. It's one thing to play poorly. It's another thing to play poorly at home, and the Giants have been absolutely abysmal, and that's putting it kindly, the last couple of weeks at home. They go on the road and win 4 of 6, and yet prior to the road trip and now immediately thereafter, they've stunk the joint out at Oracle, and because of it, they are on life support for the rest of the season. And oh, good news, they have the white-hot San Diego Padres coming in. So going to be an interesting three-game series. The Giants on 1430. The A's have the Rays up in Sacramento tonight on 790. I'll tell you all about the entirety of the schedule a little bit later on, courtesy of Ed Dunkel and his great business. Precision Civil Engineering, again, planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management, all there under one roof. More information, 449-4500, or on the web, precisioneng.net. And we will, again, address Engineering Yardage, a great fundraiser Ed has for Fresno State, a little bit later in the show. Paul with me today, as always on a Monday. A lot to talk about. I think most people that are big-time Bulldog fans are aware that the foregone conclusion, at least that's been our point of view on the show, that Warner would be the starting QB, has been made official. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Matter of fact, one thing along those lines, it's not every day on the headline column at ESPN.com, ESPN.com, the most viewed sports website in the world, you've got usually 8 to 10 stories tops there that are part of the headline package. Fresno State has two of them back-to-back because you have the Warner story, which is national news because it's Kurt Warner's son, and then also the very good news about Mo Norris and the fact that he has put himself back into a good enough place that he is back with the team, with the Lions, and will be reevaluated in this 10 to 14 day concussion protocol. So former Sanger Apache and former Bulldog, and we're just so delighted that things have turned out okay right now, because it was a scary moment over the weekend. So both headlines there, all about Fresno State at ESPN.com if you want to check it out, and I will talk to Paul about both of those stories in just a couple of minutes. But first, our other lead dogs, want to spend some time with you. One, our friends at KFC in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman, one more time. International company, KFC, national company, obviously, and locally, the local operators in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman jumping aboard to help out with the Bulldog Bread Collective, the critically important arm of Fresno State fundraising for NIL monies. And right now, you have the terrific deal going on at the KFCs. The $7 fill-up is underway. You can choose from crispy chicken, tasty tenders, or the classic famous bowl, and each come with a drink, sides, and even sweet pie poppers. You can top it all off with the brand new peaches and cream sweet lightning soda. So check it out at those local KFCs. Also, the Tuesday offer, $10 for 8 pieces of KFC dark meat chicken or original recipe tenders. That's still underway. That's been there for a good long while. Clovis Dave, keep up that streak, my friend. I know you will. But if you stop in the KFCs locally, tell them thanks for being part of the solution at Fresno State, because it's going to take more and more local people who have the wherewithal to step up to make this work in what is going to be, it already is a very competitive environment, but it's going to be exponentially more difficult once you get into the pack, because you have schools already locked and loaded there. And so Fresno State needs to keep up with the Joneses, and that means financially they've got to have people stepping forward. And we think particularly our sponsors that do just that, the KFCs, of course, Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman, Ed Dunkel, just mentioned Precision Civil Engineering, and also our good friend Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply. If you're anybody who's working around a plant, if you're a maintenance person, around a boiler service, anything that relies upon valves, if a valve goes down, your business can go down in a big hurry, and Joe is now had 25 tremendous years of success with Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply. You can stop by and see him over at 4529 North Marty Avenue in Town Suite 103, or give them a call at 266-7473, which is 266-PIPE, or more information on the web, superiorpipeusa.com. Or Gabriel Mullins, who works for Joe, has a direct email, gabe.sbs@gmail.com. All of those avenues for information. The bottom line is you not only have the superior components, the pipe fittings, the valves, the sanitary fittings, a tremendous line of hoses, food-grade chemical hoses, top-of-the-line suction hoses, all there for your business. But if you stop in, tell Joe what's going down with your business, and hopefully it is not something that's taking you down, that he will be able to address the problem you have on a same-day basis, give you an estimate, and immediately turn to servicing the problem so that you can avoid that catastrophic hit to your bottom line. That's the reason the business has had such great success. Family-friendly, you stop in, Joe will tell you what he can do for your business, and then also he'll tell you what he has done in the way of being a booster for Fresno State for the last 30 years. And right now, he will also tell you the best avenue you have to go to the main website at GoBulldogs.com. There's a donate link there. Click on that. It'll take you to areas. For instance, BulldogFoundation.org has a link. Myers Champion Circle, information for tickets and parking for all events on campus. And then under ways to give, the individual sports clubs, quarterback club for football, timeout club for men's basketball. Jack Furtick with me on Wednesdays, although this week it'll be a little different because the Giants have an afternoon game on Wednesday. But normally on Wednesdays to talk basketball. Love more members there for the timeout club. He said you can hit him up on his cell directly, 559-287-3305, or his email, FurtickJack@AOL.com. There's also links for other men's sports like the Dugout Club for baseball and women's sports as well. Check it out under ways to give. And then finally, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, the collective, BulldogBread.com, very important. Any NIL monies that you can bring to the university, whether it's through sponsorship or through donation, it's all under the university aegis now, but you do have that separate situation. NIL monies, sponsorship monies come through. Marcus McMurrian, heading this up, wants to hear from you. BulldogBread.com, bread as in BREAD.com, wants to hear from you. If you get to him, he'll get back to you in a big hurry. Anyway, thanks very much to Joe Cruz, everybody, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply. And finally, we want to thank our pals at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. They bring you our guests and the callers and the general public for Phil's show on the leesair.com hotline, which is 559-320-1430. But also, they allow me the time to tell you about the weather, and it looks like this, 105 today. It's been hot over the weekend. You guys know my 102 criteria, right? Well, it went right past that 102, don't worry about it, to 105. The low at 71, the wind's right around 10 miles an hour. A little hazy, and of course, we're still concerned about the fires, the Gifford fire, the Canyon fire, everything going on in SoCal, and that can impact us, a little shift in the wind, and look out. But right now, from 105 today, 103 tomorrow, then 101 on Wednesday, and then we trend downward, 100 on Thursday, 97 Friday, 95 Saturday, 94 Sunday. That's the 7 day. And the good news is, for the last 5 days, it looks like the lows will be in the 60s, and that helps cool things off, of course, before we get started with the heat in the morning again. So overall, a fairly average forecast. It can be a lot worse this time of year, and we'll see with the Bulldogs on the road on the 23rd, of course, in Lawrence, Kansas, what the humidity might be there. But then the following week, the 30th, when Fresno State plays a very good Georgia Southern team, we'll see what the weather might be like. Anyway, thanks to everybody at Lee's for allowing us the time. Anything you need, Central Air Plumbing, Heating, or Roofing, and they have the $99 deal to check your Central Air. You might want to take a few minutes to give them a call about that. You can reach them again at 825-5337, which is 825-LEES, or leesair.com on the web. So thanks to everybody, Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing, Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering, and our local operators at KFC in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. By the way, they are right now part of the promotion for Brad Pitt's fine movie, all about Formula One racing, F1, the movie. Check that out at the theaters if you can. All that having been said, we turn to our longtime friend, longtime voice here, Bulldogs. It is Mr. Paul Loeffler. Paul, how you doing?
Tony, doing great. And speaking of Brad Pitt, I think Will Power is almost as old as Brad now, but he had a big win this weekend there, didn't he?
Yeah, he did, and he's breathing easier now because the captain, that would be Roger Penske, can get impatient when you don't win. And I had to laugh at the end of that race yesterday. One of the announcers said, "Now can you replace me?" So I'm not so sure that's what Will would be saying, but it might be what Will was thinking around that last turn in Portland yesterday. So you're right about that. All right, Paul, a lot of things to start with. I want to start with Mo Norris first, though, because, Paul, you know, we talk about this all the time. You want to put things in perspective, and we always say, well, this puts it in perspective, and the rejoinder is always, well, you should always have it in perspective. That having been said, when we watch football, we are aware of the danger, but when it hits so close to home, as it did with Maurice over the weekend, it really emotionally hits you between the eyes, and it's such a relief to know that he's okay, he's back, albeit in concussion protocol, he's back with the team at the training facility. And, Paul, when you have that kind of injury and you have both teams say, we don't want to play anymore, now, we understand during the exhibition season the criteria is a little different, but still, that's a resounding message to everybody about the import and the seriousness of what's going on out there. And I'm just beyond thankful that it appears things are okay. And I want you to get your opportunity here to talk about a really good guy, a great singer, Apache, and a terrific Bulldog as well.
Without a doubt. And one of the most positive, hopeful, generous young men you'll ever be around. You know, his path to the NFL was a pretty unique one. And a lot of people wouldn't have projected it. You know, he spent some time before Sanger out on the west side in the,
right,
you know, Tranquility, San Joaquin area. And he's gone back there the last two summers with our friend Coach Q and helped a lot of the young people there dream about doing the same things that he's doing right now. And you see the passion that he plays with, the energy and, again, enthusiasm, positivity he brings to everything. It's contagious. And so of all the guys, right, you wouldn't want that to happen to anybody, but when it's someone who's so full of life and so giving, it hits you even harder. And that was a gut punch, but praise God he's okay. And I say that, you know, from my own perspective, but that's what he's saying. And I know his faith in the midst of this and how he sees the situation is encouraging and inspiring a lot of other people. And I'm sure you probably experienced the same thing I did too, Tony, just seeing that happen in a Lions uniform. Been too many times with that organization and one of our good friends right here in the Valley. I mean, I still remember when Zach Follett was getting carted off, and who knows what his NFL career might have been. For Mo, I think his best days in the league are in front of him. In Zach's case, it redirected his life, and we've got an awesome coffee shop and ministry that he has with Cup of Joy that probably wouldn't be here without his career-ending injury. So it's kind of crazy how everything works. But, boy, just so thankful that Mo is okay and hope it's not too long till we see him sprinting around that Detroit secondary again for a team that should be a contender once again in 2025.
If they can stay healthy, you know, I'm talking to friends over the weekend about a comment I made a week or so ago that, you know, much as I love the 49ers, I think their window, again, it opens and closes for all teams because of caponomics in the league, that the 49ers window is closed again. I think they had an opportunity when they were under the rookie contract with Brock Purdy to hold on to a lot of people. Hufanga was just talking about over the weekend how he didn't want to leave to go to Denver, but he had to. Lost half the defense, basically, because of the contract that they had to sign to get Purdy up to market value. The Lions are in the opposite situation right now. They are still solidly within the window if they can stay healthy. Had they stayed healthy last year, I think they had a great shot at the Super Bowl. They got every injury on the planet, particularly defensively, that you can imagine toward the end of that year. So we'll see how it plays out in a season that's going to start in a few weeks. I want to get, obviously, the prayers out to Mo, and I just want him to feel well, and then we'll see what the future brings. Again, concussion protocol the next 10 to 14 days. I want to get to E.J. Warner, and, you know, I appreciate the emails of a lot of good friends jumping back in, Steve in Clovis, J.J. down on the coast, Patrick taking time out from practice to email in about Georgia Southern. We'll get to that one. Robert had a couple of questions locally here, Rick up in the Bay Area. I'll get to everybody during the week. But, Paul, what I wanted to start with here was a question that came. Steve brought it up, and Robert brought it up as well, and I don't want to get too far into sport alone without giving you a chance to address this. They asked if we're going to find out, and Steve was asking this, find out exactly what the financial bottom line was as far as profit or whatever it might have been with the Shakira concert. Do you know if we will get a definitive number? Because it's something that keeps coming up. I mean, it was a great promotion for Fresno State. They had a terrific crowd. The devil is always in the details, obviously. And by the way, for the record, I'm for anything where you exploit your resources to their fullest. So it's great that they did this, and I hope it's the portent of things to come. But, Paul, do you think we're going to hit a bottom line that we'll find out about here?
I'm sure we will, right? And I don't think it's time yet to have that because there are a lot of, you know, there are a lot of unexpected twists and turns that night that the school had to adjust to, and that Shakira's people had to adjust to, and hats off. You know, I wasn't there, but every report I've heard was it was an all hands on deck. You know, didn't see this coming, but let's find a way through it. A lot of problem solving took place. A lot of patience was on display, and by the end of the night, a lot of smiles on a lot of Valley people's faces. So that's a big win, and I think it will be a financial win, and I think more importantly, it's setting the stage for bigger financial wins in the future, because everything that was learned by putting this on, in theory, will be put into practice for future events. I think other artists are going to want to come because of the turnout, because of the success. And, you know, I would be shocked if we don't read in the Fresno Bee at some point what the bottom line was, because even if it's not volunteered, I think a Freedom of Information Act request will turn that up. My expectation is it's going to be a success, and Fresno State will want to come out and share, you know, how beneficial it was, and also cast that vision for the future. So whether it's concerts coming in or professional soccer, I was in the stadium yesterday. There's a new youth football league called God YFL that was out there. Saw a lot of former Bulldogs coaching teams. Paul Williams looks like he can still run a few routes. I saw a few guys who still look like they could play. So it's great to see the stadium in use, and I think you know, it was a gutsy decision to throw that out there, especially on such short notice, but hats off to everybody who worked together to make that possible, and makes me pretty excited about what the future of that stadium and hopefully someday a new stadium can mean to the Valley.
Well, you and I talked about that last week, and I'm in total agreement, and yeah, the devil is in the details as far as the finances, because you had a lot of cooperative effort. You had Live Nation in there, a lot of different things where you had to have coordination when you don't have a lot of time. So it is, and I think you brought it up well, Paul, a great premise, and I'm sure, and it was reflected by some of the posts afterward coming from Fresno State, from Garrett Classy, lessons learned as well that they'll use going forward. But I'm in total lockstep with you and anybody else who says, look, you have facilities. Those are resources. You have to find a way to exploit those resources to your full advantage. I know a lot of the guys at Chase Center in San Francisco, and you know, they talk about the fact that the public perception of Chase Center is, it's the, they call it the ATM, like it's the, you know, a money machine. But the burden is in that monster facility, not merely to house the Warriors and now the Valkyries and all that stuff, but it's to have as close to full occupancy every night they can possibly have there so that they use it 365 days a year, as close to as they can get. Obviously, you have to leave dates open and all of that. Outdoor facilities, it's a little bit different, but, Paul, there's no question. You have only the single stadium that is big enough to do things beyond Save Mart Center. That's it. It's why you and I were talking that if you do decide to try to retrofit things again at Bulldog Stadium for football, you're going to have a tremendous burden in where you're going to play if you're rendering that facility useless for a couple of years while you're trying to construct things there, as opposed to building a new stadium where you can stay in the old one while the new one is across the way. The same thing applies with this. You have a stadium that you need to use as many days as possible, and the only way, Paul, to make it work is to be really creative. And you have to be, as you're saying, careful. You've got to be responsible, but you also have to be a little bit out of the box. Otherwise, it will just sit empty and bake in the sun 340-some days a year, right? I mean, that's all there is to it.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, and you know, it's going to be a lot of details that have to be worked out. And first of all, you know, you're going to have a plan that's realistic to make it happen. But the way you do that is by taking chances, by putting out a bold vision and giving the community a chance to respond. And I think we're seeing those kinds of things happen. Looking forward to Thursday night, the kickoff dinner. And by the way, today's right. Your last day to get tickets for the kickoff dinner if you want to be there on Thursday night. And hear right from the horse's mouth, right? You'll hear from the athletic director. You'll hear from the new head football coach who named his starting quarterback today. You'll hear their vision for the future of Fresno State football specifically. And we know that that's the biggest engine on the locomotive is the football program. So, you know, if you want to be thinking about that, what the future looks like, and how much confidence you have that Fresno State's going in the right direction, I'd encourage you to get your ticket in the be there on Thursday night.
By the way, Paul, have they solidified? I've gotten two or three different emails about the exact locale. Do you know for sure now, because they moved it around a bit because of size, of where exactly it is going to be, the dinner itself, as far as the room itself that they're going to be in?
Yeah, there was a change just because of capacity. And
right.
I've got a meeting this afternoon to go over all the details for Thursday night. I know we're going to raise a ton of money with our friend Mike Gibson as our auctioneer. And I just haven't checked my notes lately to see what venue we're in. I've had a few too many events lately. But I think I think we moved to the Valdez Hall there at the Convention Center downtown. I'll clarify for sure before we finish this call, Tony. And, you know,
and
coming
also
from practice and what's that?
Yeah, go ahead. I was saying, also, people can go to GoBulldogs.com and they will see the exact locale, but go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, if I'm a good enough multitasker, I might do that myself. Yeah,
if I weren't laying down, I'd do it. I would do it myself right now if I weren't laying down, Paul, which I am, as you know. So, go ahead.
And I did. We are in Hall 1 at the Convention Center. So
okay.
It was going to be Valdez Hall, but they need more room because there are so many tickets that have been purchased. So it's going to Hall 1 at the Fresno Convention Center. And there are still a few tables available, but again, today's the last day. So go Bulldogs.com or just call 278-DOGS, 278-7160, and they'll get you set. Judy and Maddie and everybody's working really hard to make that a special night. And,
Thursday,
today, there was a huge turnout from the media. Everybody had kind of heard there was apparently some a leak this morning to the national media about who would get that job. And then Coach Entz, I thought, did a great job of laying out their decision, why they made the decision, and, again, emphasizing how close the competition's been and that the coaching staff has great confidence in all three quarterbacks to get the job done. And I wouldn't be surprised at all, Tony, if we saw three quarterbacks play this year. I think they've all made each other better through camp. As you know, Josh Davis, the OC, said after practice today, they've all had highs and lows, but he highlighted the pre-snap ability of EJ, which is really a byproduct of not just his experience as a three-year college football starter, but, you know, being the son of a Hall of Famer and being there, you know, starting through osmosis and then with a little greater interest, being there when his dad's breaking down film. That's a big advantage when it comes to all the things we usually don't see and making those pre-snap reads, especially with this year's offense. This year, it's going to be, you know, I think geared around what is the defense giving you, a quarterback who can speak that language and recognize that and adjust accordingly is going to put you in a good situation. So sounds like, you know, the experience, the comfort level, the level of trust is pre-snap reads were a big hand in giving EJ that first crack at the starting job this year. But Coach Davis went on to say, you know, Jaden Mandel's gotten himself in great shape. He's at 212 pounds and running the ball well, and you may even see a run game package for Jaden in that opener against Kansas. And all the coaches are really complimentary of what Carson Coughlin has done in his very short time in the program, learning the playbook and steadily improving, and the way he improvises. And as I think Coach Davis put it today, saves you from bad plays. You know, when maybe the OC didn't call the best play, Coughlin has an improvisational ability that can turn a bad situation into a better result, and that has certainly shown through camp as well. So there are different strengths and weaknesses of those three, but they're pushing each other. They seem to have a good camaraderie, and like I said, wouldn't be surprised at all to see all three of those guys get some snaps in 2025.
Well, you mentioned the national meeting. We were talking about that. Pete Thamel, of course, a very credible writer for ESPN, had the story, and he did pick up on the comment that is, I think, probably front and center throughout the entire team. The message is we're very confident in any of the three back there, that we can win with any of the three. And, you know, it's interesting, Paul, you bring up the by osmosis experience. You know, Shedeur Sanders, as you know, had a roller coaster ride throughout the draft process, and being Deion's kid, a lot of naysayers, and some of the stuff was very, very unfair. Other stuff, he brought it on himself, probably with some of his behavior at Colorado a little bit above the fray. But Friday night, he comes out, and a lot of what he did pre-snap impressed everybody. When your father was maybe the best cover corner that the league has seen in recent memory, I go with Jimmy Johnson, of course, from Kingsburg with the 49ers when I was a kid. But from the 90s on, there may not have been a better cover corner in the league than Deion Sanders. You're going to benefit from that, and it doesn't mean that EJ is going to win the battle long term, but there is no question, Paul, what you bring up is true. When it is so ingrained in what you do have a bit of a leg up when it comes to getting ready. Now the question is, can you, as JJ asked down in the Orchid from here originally, can you stay away from the turnover issues that bothered you at Rice and the Temple? And that's going to be the question, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's going to be the challenge for anybody who gets snaps at quarterback this year. But he's the guy that has seen firsthand through experience what happens when you turn the ball over. And I think the other thing to consider there is what kind of defense and what kind of run game he's going to be surrounded by. And, you know, there's a documentary that some of my family's been watching lately on the Ravens when they won the Super Bowl. And I haven't watched it yet, but they were sharing with me some of the things that Trent Dilfer said in that documentary. And you remember how that season went. I mean, we were covering. I remember on Super Bowl Sunday going down to the car dealership that Trent owned at the time in Delano and watching his employees celebrate his Super Bowl win. But, you know, Trent realized that they didn't need him to be the guy we saw at Fresno State, who was slinging the ball around the field and throwing for 500 yards and had Sebrin here and Winans there. And, you know, he didn't need to be that guy for the Ravens. He needed to take care of the football and be efficient. And they had a strong run game with Jamal Lewis. He had a Hall of Fame tight end. He had some incredible receivers. He didn't have to win the game. He needed to manage the game. And I think if this team is who the coaching staff is trying to make it, your quarterback is going to have a very similar role. You know, the run game is going to lead the way. They're going to try to dominate the line of scrimmage. I think they've got a defense with some playmakers and some depth that can keep them in games. So is he going to have to make clutch throws? Yeah. But the right read in a key third down situation that gets you out of, you know, one call and into another may be the difference in some ball games. Accuracy is going to matter. And I think the more time that he plays, the quicker his decisions will be. And I think the other thing we don't know, you'd have to go down and look situationally, yeah, the interceptions are a red flag, but how much of that came because Temple and Rice were playing from behind? They had to throw the football, and the defense knew they were throwing the football. That can be a pretty big asterisk. I mean, I saw Bellinger's quotes the other day about Altuve stealing an MVP from Aaron Judge, and that's a, you know, it's a similar scenario. When you know the fastball's coming, you're ready for it. And, you know, with the teams that EJ has played the last 3 years as a college football starter, a lot of time they knew the ball was going to be in the air, which certainly changes the odds. So I think there are reasons. Those aren't excuses, but they could be some perspective and some credible reasons why those numbers coming in aren't more successful. But I'll say it again. I think all three guys, and it showed all through camp, right? The coaches did a great job giving them equal reps, equal opportunities, and there's a bigger trust factor there with Warner, but it's close. And those other guys, I think, very good chance they get an opportunity to play and help this team win. And I'll say this too, I'm really impressed, Tony, by the depth of the running back position. The O-line has improved, and that's going to be maybe one of the biggest differences from last year to this year. But sounds like the coaches are planning to play multiple guys at that running back position. And I think Bulldog fans are going to fall in love with Speedy Luke. They already love Bryson Donaldson. They saw what he could do against Colorado State last year. Speedy Luke's one of those guys, no matter where he gets the ball in the field, that other end zone is not an impossible destination. He's a guy that really scares the defense with his explosive ability. Brandon Ramirez, you know, had the injury last year. People who saw him in high school know what kind of heart he has and what kind of a gamer he is. And I think he's going to do some big things this year. We've already seen Elijah Gilliam out there, and we've seen just little hints of what Jonathan Arsenault can do. But, man, that guy's in the best shape of his career. I think he could be a difference maker. He's another home run threat. And, you know, Devin Rivers is still out there trying to fight for playing time, too. So, I mean, that's a pretty long list when it comes to running backs who can get the job done for you. I think this team, you know, the coaches have done a really good job forging a physical identity, changing physiques, setting an expectation, and I'm just excited that it's almost go time for the 2025 Bulldogs.
Well, I've mentioned how high I am on Bryson Donaldson. That hasn't changed from last year, but your point is well taken, Paul. Fresh legs late can really help you, and if you've got running backs, you can shuttle in and out one more time. That's a position where you can share time as opposed to quarterback, where you can bring guys in and out throughout the game as a running back core, and you've got your fresh legs not only were your main go-to guys late, but you also have the guys that come in, change of pace. A couple of things. One, I do want to mention, incident to Patrick. Patrick, if you're listening on podcast afterward, because I know you've got practice right now, I will go over the Georgia Southern comments you made. They're very well stated. I'll do that with Jackson tomorrow. And, of course, that is going to be a test. There's no doubt about it. That is not a walkover game coming in here on the 30th, that's for sure. But to your point about Trent Dilfer, and we've talked about it really from the time that he won the Super Bowl, the start of the 2000s, Ray Lewis was on with us at one point. And, you know, you could be politically correct during a season, but then years afterward you could be more honest. We talked to Ray well removed from the Super Bowl, so he didn't have any interest in being anything but truthful about Trent, and he said, just you're saying, we don't win that Super Bowl without Trent Dilfer. And Ray Lewis said, of course, Ray Lewis, one of the great linebackers in the history of the league, said Trent did not get enough credit for just what you're talking about, Paul, understanding what we, with that great, great defense and terrific running game, needed from our quarterback. And he was willing, Trent was, to subjugate his own ego to go out there and win. And I think it's great when a teammate like Ray Lewis goes out of his way to say it. And I know it's something that Trent, I think, is still very proud of to this day. At least that's my guess. I haven't talked to Trent lately about it, but I know it meant a lot to him at the time.
He should be proud of it, right? That's leadership. When you know you can do X, Y, Z, and you say, you know what, I don't need to because that's not what the team needs from me right now. When you get a whole team full of guys who are putting the team's needs before their own, you get something special. I was talking kind of about that this morning. I had the privilege of addressing all 500 employees of Kerman Unified School District. Shout out to our friend Gordon Pacheco. Remember his coaching days. He's the superintendent out there now and invited me to come speak to their team. And one of the things I was talking about is unity. You know, when you all agree on a goal and you understand that it's not about you, it's about the team, you know, that's when you're capable of doing things you couldn't do otherwise. We've seen it in so many ways. For me, I mean, I've really learned that from the World War II generation. Person after person highlights how united America was back then. And I've seen with Central Valley Honor Flight that our veterans are a cause that can unite us again. But anybody who's ever been on a team and has seen a leader like that, I mean, just the exponential effect of that kind of person. We saw it here with Derek Carr as well, right? And I think when you look at Tim Tebow, all the scouts are like, oh, he can't throw, he can't do this. But, man, the guy won games. And what did he do? He brought out the best in his teammates because he was willing to do anything that team needed to win. And I think that's the kind of culture. I know that's the kind of culture Matt Entz is trying to instill here. And I think it's catching on. You know, I was talking to one of the senior leaders of the team today after practice, and he was just saying how, you know, he wants to find what else he can do to make a difference in the lives of his teammates, let alone just win games. I think you've got a real intentional and focused group out there, and it's going to be exciting to see what these Bulldogs are capable of.
Paul, last thing, and by the way, your point about Altuve is well taken, although I will tell you this, advice to New York Yankee fans, stop booing the guy because Altuve just tore the Yankees up all weekend long at Yankee Stadium. So better let bygones be bygones. He's going to keep doing that to you. Paul, the necessity for your quarterback in this day and age because of the athleticism on defense to have the legs to go get the first downs when you got to have them, third and seven, what have you. We saw it with Marcus McMarion. Marcus was the quintessential quarterback who could manage a game, and that's a compliment, not an insult, but knew when a big play had to be made. I always think of the bowl game in Houston. When a big play had to be made, he pulled it down and would get the yardage. Do we have that on the roster right now? Anybody who has the combination of the ability to get the ball where it has to go through the air, but when all breaks down, can get that first down? Because it was the problem we had with Mikey Keene. When you had a clean pocket, Mikey was terrific, but he wasn't a guy that could go get you that first down out of nowhere on third and seven. Of the three, is there anybody head and shoulders above anybody else who carries that combination you need?
Well, you know, that's an interesting question, Tony. I think they all have a little bit of it. And, you know, the scrimmage the other night was closed. So, I mean, I know a couple highlights have been thrown out there. If you're following social media, you might see a tremendous catch that a young freshman receiver named Harold Duvall hauled in. But if you were there at the start of it, you would have also seen E.J. Warner knows how to run the ball. And he's a little quicker than he looks. And Jaden Mandel certainly can do that. I mentioned earlier Coach Davis alluded to the thought of a running package for Jaden. And Conklin's one of those guys, you know, he doesn't look like he's running fast, but he is. So he covers a lot of ground with long strides, a little more effortlessly than the others, always with his eyes downfield. But I think, you know, Conklin might be the most improvisational of the three. Mandel could be the most explosive in the run game, and Warner the sneakiest. Warner also has a low center of gravity. He's really tough. So I think all those guys have a chance. And, you know, what I've been encouraged with through camp, too, is the growth in the receiving core. You know, you've got a former Bulldog there, Delvon Hardaway, who's coaching up those wideouts. Josiah Freeman, man, keep that guy healthy because he's an NFL kind of body. I think he's got the right mindset, has really led that position group. Josiah Aon, I think, is going to be a great addition. He's not a top-end speed guy, but you can really see his potential to be a great third-down target and a possession receiver who might break a few tackles and give you the big play on occasion. And a guy who's really leading in so many ways is Jordan Brown. I mean, it's his sixth year here. You know, he's a former walk-on who's earned his opportunity. His teammates respect the world of him. And he's one of those guys who does every little thing right. when you have guys like that, everybody else kind of lives up to that standard. You know, Jayon Ferrar is turning some heads. I think Duvall's going to be, if he gets to play a lot, you know, if he does all the disciplinary things that he needs to do to stay focused and precise, he's going to be on the field a lot and could be a freshman All-American. I mean, I think he's got that kind of potential if you can get him the ball. So that part of it's exciting, too. And another guy, Cam Beachum. I mean, we've seen him in the past. He was going to leave in the offseason. He stuck around. But his athleticism at that tight end position can create mismatches. And I think this coaching staff has a really good feel for how to use the tight end as a weapon in the pass game and not just as a blocker.
Yep. Well, we've said it. Who's always open? The tight end. And we'll see what happens. Paul, we talk about it year after year, but Bart Scott brought it up when he was with the Jets. Bart, of course, is at ESPN now and has been for a long time. Derek Carr reflected it when he was here. Can't wait. Can't wait for this to kick off. I mentioned it the other day. The first three games of the 2001 season, because of the late ad that sent the Bulldogs to Boulder first, had a fascinating look to them because they all had the potential to be losses. They also could be wins, and it turned out to be winning at Boulder, winning at home against SI's number one team, resoundingly beating Oregon State 44-24, then going to Camp Randall and Bernard Berry and saw to it the Bulldogs would win there. 3-0 start. Paul, this three-game set, these are three winnable games, three losable games to start, and it makes for a very intriguing season, particularly with a new coaching staff. So I can't imagine greater anticipation than what we're going to see for the next 3 weeks coming up because we finally get to game week next week. Can't wait for that. You in agreement with me about that one?
Oh, big time, Tony. I think it's exciting. I think we'll be more excited after Thursday night and that kickoff dinner. And again, you know, today's your last chance to get tickets for that. But I've been really encouraged by what I've seen throughout camp. And I think Fresno State's got a defense that's going to really keep the Bulldogs in games and a defense that's going to come after you in different ways. I think Nick Benedetto's a real sharp up-and-coming coach, and there's a good cohesion with this whole coaching
right.
staff. It's going to be fun. A lot of it will come down to ball security, you know, as close games often do. But I think this team has a lot of potential in 2025. And you're right, those are winnable games. They're also losable games. So what kind of tone can be set early in forging an identity as a team that wins close games by winning the crucial pivotal play, the third down stop or the third down conversion, fourth down when you need it? You know, are they that team that has that kind of belief, that kind of cohesion, and that kind of execution? Matt Entz has coached a lot of teams that had that, and boy, would it be special if this team becomes one in that same vein.
Well, national coverage on ESPN.com today, national coverage of the game itself on the 23rd on Big Fox, so we can't wait for it to start. Paul, appreciate it. Have a great week. Next week, it is game week time. Take care, my friend. I'll see you.
Adios, Tony. Stay out of trouble.
I will certainly, from where I'm at, I can't get in trouble, I don't think. Unless I fall off the bed, I think I'm okay. But I'll certainly try. All right, guys, our great friend, Voice Your Bulldogs, Paul Leffler. Take a break, come back, talk about the schedule, hand it off to Phil. His great show behind the bench for 3 hours today. Los Gigantes, oh, the ship may not be sinking. The ship may have been sunk. So, Michael Ray, if you're out there, there you go, Mr. Richardson. All right, we'll take a break. Come back with more. Bulldog Hour continues on this Monday on Central Valley Sports Leader 1430 ESPN. Everybody, welcome back. 253. Come on the show. Hand it off to Phil. His fine show behind the bench. Take you to 6. Up at the schedule in just a second. But first, I want to remind you, if you're on your way home early from work or planning a 5 o'clock departure, or you haven't had lunch yet, you want to jump out and grab it right now, don't forget about our friends at KFC with the great $7 fill-up special going on right now. Again, you can choose from crispy chicken, tasty tenders, or the classic famous bowl, each with a drink, sides, and even sweet pie poppers. You can top it all off with the peaches and cream sweet lightning soda. That's just $7. Great offer as they celebrate F1, the movie, the fine Brad Pitt movie that took 3 years to make, by the way. Also, keep in mind, The local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman have the Tuesday 8-piece $10 deal going. That means 8 pieces of KFC's great dark meat fried chicken or the original recipe tenders. Been going on for a good long while. It's still there for you on Tuesdays. You also Wednesday have the Country Fried Steak deal going, so there's a lot going on at the local KFCs. And one more time, if you stop in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, or Kerman, tell those local operators thank you very much for being part of the solution to the issues at Fresno State. We need more like them. That would be the NIL monies that come through the Bulldog Bread Collective, bulldogbread.com, bread as in on the table, BREAD.com. Marcus McMarion heading that up. Chris started at station, handed it off to Marcus, two Bulldog legends combining there. And Marcus right now wants to hear from you. Any sponsorship idea you have, any donation, big or small, bulldogbread.com. Thanks again to the local KFC operators for being part of the solution at Fresno State. And speaking of someone who's part of the solution, that would be Ed Dunkel and his great business, Precision Civil Engineering. We'll tell you about Engineering Yard, its great fundraiser Ed has for Fresno State in just a moment. But first, want to bring you the schedule courtesy of Ed and his company. Again, planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management, all there under one roof. More information, 449-4500 or precisioneng.net. One more time with Engineering Yardage. Lyles College of Engineering, Ed, a graduate there. A lot of the folks that work at Precision, also a graduate on campus at Fresno State. They have Engineering Yardage, which is the fundraiser for every yard gained through the air at Bulldog Stadium for the last few years. You've had a donation made to Fresno State. We look forward to the year coming up here on the 23rd as we get started again, and of course at home on the 30th against Georgia Southern. The goal of Engineering Yardage, to unify athletics and academics, to provide more funding resources to students. It's worked beautifully, and again, another company part of the solution that what Fresno State would love to see across the valley is taking place there at Precision, which is benefiting Fresno State and also benefiting the business as well. It is a true win-win. As far as the schedule goes, Phil with you 3 to 6 Monday through Friday, including Thursdays at Fashion Furniture with our good friend Ryla Vedekian, who's celebrating another great anniversary there, the best furniture on the planet. Great conversation of Phil's show on Thursdays, Good Eats as well, El Paso across from River Park. You can always reach Phil on the leesair.com hotline, 559-320-1430. We are with you at 2 o'clock each and every weekday. You can reach me, tdad1 at att.net, tdad, the number 1 at att.net. I can't answer you guys much privately right now. Got another back surgery coming up at the end of October. Hopefully things are going to work out better, but right now I'll try to address what I can over air. Tdad1 at att.net. Also keep in mind, Paul Metter's back with his fine show, Central Valley Sports Report, 10 a.m. to noon from First Ring Sports on 1430 on Saturdays. Check that one out as well. Everything for the station, 1430ESPNFresno.com. You find the live links and podcasts there. As far as the lineup tonight, again, the Giants and the Padres, 6:15 the pre on 1430, 6:45 first pitch. The Giants have been just dreadful at home. I mean, they are absolutely awful. I've lost track now. I think it's 11 of the last 12 at home, something like that, and it's caused them to sink big time. So if they're going to resurrect the season, it's going to have to be now, and it's going to have to be against one of the better teams in baseball after the Padres made all those acquisitions at the trading deadline. The Padres right on the heels of the Dodgers right now. A couple of night games and a day game on Wednesday. The A's are over on 790. The Rays are in tonight, 6:30, with the 7:05 first pitch from Sacramento. Again, the A's don't win a lot, but they're damned entertaining and a lot of young talent. I just wish it was staying in California, not going to Vegas in a couple of years, but that's life. Also, keep in mind, we've got the NFL coming up around the bend for you. The Lakers will be here pretty soon as well, so very busy time for us, and high school sports as well, and Phil is front and center with that. He's coming up momentarily. Thanks again to the great sponsors, Precision Civil Engineering, that would be Ed Dunkel, Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, the local operators at KFC in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman, and our friends at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. Great people, one and all. Thanks to Jorge. Thanks to Paul Lepler. It will be Jackson Moore tomorrow. I'll get to more of your emails. Phil is coming up. Give him a call on that Lee's Air hotline, 559-320-1430. This is KFIG Fresno.